WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward. Always streaming on the
ABC
Civic
News,
Media
I'm
app.
Mark Remillard. The nation's labor movement continues to grow as actors and writers in Hollywood remain on strike. Now, auto workers in Detroit could be next.
97% of UAW members voted to authorize a strike if a new deal isn't reached with Detroit's three automakers by September 14th. The union is demanding higher wages, improved benefits, and cost of living wage bumps. All this as car manufacturers transition to producing more electric vehicles, which require fewer workers to assemble. President Biden is calling for a fair agreement, appointing a White House liaison between the union and automakers, hoping to help avert a strike.
ABC's Morgan Norwood. Thousands of attendees at Burning Man in Nevada literally stuck in the mud after monsoon rains brought flooding. Attendees have been told to shelter and conserve supplies. A crew of astronauts splashing down off the coast of Florida after returning from the International Space Station. This is ABC News. An organization funded by a popular video game is working to find well-paying jobs for veterans.
It's called the Call of Duty Endowment, created by the CEO of Activision, the maker of the Call of Duty video games. Now a large nonprofit working on this Labor Day to put veterans into jobs that can sustain them. Over 60% of veterans are considered unemployed or underemployed. Retired Navy Captain Dan Goldenberg is executive director of the endowment.
The goal is salaries that are at well above national averages. So, for example, the vets we placed this year to date, average salaries above $70,000.
Veterans arriving at work with the skills they learned from their time in the military. Alex Stone, ABC News.
President Biden says his home in Wilmington, Delaware, is off limits for the time being. When not at the White House, the president has been spending time at his Delaware beach home, but he says it's not a vacation. He says the Secret Service has been working on his Wilmington home to make it more secure. Mark Remillard, ABC News.
When you think about early labor unions, do you think of Wisconsin? You should. The state's first labor union formed in Milwaukee in 1847 when the bricklayers organized, then the carpenters union in 1848. The National Labor Union didn't even form until 1866. A State Historical Society report shows Wisconsin's union members also pushed for workers' compensation and unemployment insurance legislation, becoming a model for other states. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr. Wisconsin traditions have been built for years around the Badgers, game day, and the mascot. But lead miners are the original Badgers in the state, not the animal or the mascot. It was the 1820s, and the miners often didn't have shelter in the winters, so they lived like Badgers by digging tunnels into the hillsides to stay warm and sleep where they worked. It led to the reason why today you really can't think of Wisconsin without thinking Badgers. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
When you want something so badly, what you're able to justify and rationalize and get over, so I would say there's not a non-zero chance.
But what record would she run on? Foxconn?
I mean, what did she run on for governor? Probably the same thing.
I just remember her warning about people will be marrying coffee tables once gay marriage is allowed, so I'd like her to run just so I can ask her how many of those weddings she's been to.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Brock. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic Sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, could potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
Yeah. It's like, well, the bank has a house.
The bank's letting us stay here.
Coffee cups and empty LaCroix cans and empty disposable coffee cups.
Come find me. I dare you. I got a ring system.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time. This is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin. Welcome to the 11 o'clock hour of As Goes Wisconsin on this Friday before Labor Day weekend. It is also September. I'm surprised you haven't chosen any September songs because there's so many to choose from, Greg Bach.
There's only two that I know of. There's the Earth, Wind, and Fire. And
do you remember?
Yeah, I'm over it because everyone does it. Okay. And I want something new and fresh. I'm only playing December songs. In September.
Oh, that is a rebel.
Yeah. Bring the fire. And you don't like it? Call us. 844-967-2789. 844-96-PARTY.
There you go.
Yeah.
If you don't like Greg's music choices, please let him know.
Yeah. Please direct those comments to Luke Mathers at Town Call.
Please save it for the next hour. Yeah. We don't want to hear it. But as a good reminder, thank a union.
Yeah.
Thank a union. That is a long day weekend.
Yep.
Obviously, Labor Day, similarly to when we celebrate Memorial Day weekend.
Yep.
There's a bigger meaning, as a bigger sacrifice that was made that day is meant to honor beyond pontoon boats and grill outs and yard work and all the things that we do as the summer comes to an end. And obviously, Earl, good friend, colleague, Earl Ingram is going to be at Labor Fest on Monday, so that's going to be our one live show. If you want to tune in for that, good for him, working on a Monday. We will not be here. But we will be back on Tuesday, and so we got a whole other week with Greg. Jane's back the following week,
yep.
So Jane has not disappeared. She is still employed. She still works.
She's just relaxing.
Take a little break.
Yep.
Woman hasn't had a vacation since like 2019.
Doing her thing.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it.
But we miss her dearly.
Mind your business.
We miss her dearly.
Yes, we do. We had two texts, though. One, which what you were saying, though, from the 312, thank unions, it's Friday. So that's real nice. And then from the 608, very angrily, No September Morn by Neil Diamond. Come on. Well, you know what, 608? I do what I want.
Well, and you know,
I do what I want.
You do what you want. I also do what I want because Paul on the YouTube live stream just told me, Kristen, for the love of Jeebus, sit up straight. I'm 8 months pregnant, Paul.
Yeah, Paul, I would
back
really.
Back off.
How about this? Let's. Let's do something with that roll. Let's slow it.
I will sit how I want to sit, sir.
You know what, Kristen? Let's just sit how we want. This is.
I am comfortable.
This is great.
Thank you for the feedback. My mom would appreciate it. All right. Well, Greg Bach, I'm not sure you've been here when we've done an Am I the A-hole? But we call it sphincter because I don't know. I don't think A-hole is on the list of seven words you cannot say on television, but it does feel like something we shouldn't say.
It sounds like something we have to hit the dump button for.
Yeah, so we call it this segment. Am I the sphincter? And it's when we take different. There's a subreddit where people submit their real life scenarios and they try to get feedback from strangers on whether or not they are basically the jerk or if they were in the right.
Yeah.
And this one has to do with bullying. And I think for people who have had children, I'm interested in your perspective on this, because we started the week talking about bullying and the increase of bullying. But I think we mostly talked about it from the perspective of the kids who are being bullied. But I'm interested in how you, as a parent, when you find out your kid is the bully, what is the proper way to handle that? Especially if you're someone who's like, yeah, cut that out. So I will read this, and we would love to hear your opinion on it. I already have it. I've read this one. I already have an opinion. But Greg, okay. I'm excited to hear what you think.
All right.
All right. Am I the sphincter for making my daughter miss once-in-a-lifetime events, homecoming and senior prom, and delete all of her social media as punishment for bullying? Yesterday, I was informed that my daughter, Sam, was a part of a group of students who bullied another girl to the point where she had to switch schools. There was a racial aspect to the bullying, which came as a complete shock since my wife and I truly did our best to raise our three kids to be kind and honest individuals. I don't believe that a grounding and confiscation of electronics is harsh enough for what Sam did. So I told Sam that she would not be allowed to participate in homecoming or attend senior prom. I also told her that she won't be getting a car for her 18th birthday either. Finally, I told her she'll have to delete all of her social media accounts and with either me or her mother watching. She begged me to allow her to go to her senior prom because it's a once-in-a-lifetime event, and keep her Instagram account because it had pictures going back years that weren't saved anywhere else. I told her that she shouldn't have been a racist bully. My parents are temporarily staying with us, and while their house is going under renovations. They agree that what Sam did was completely out of line and must be punished, but they think that making my daughter miss homecoming and senior prom and forcing her to delete her social media is far, far too harsh. Am I the a-hole? I say no.
No, you
are
not.
I think so.
You are not. You are not, period. I think that actions have consequences. And when you really, you step back and you look at what, you know, it's look at what your daughter did. You, along with her friends, made it so difficult for some child, and on a racial aspect too, they had to switch schools. I mean, no amount. Here's the thing: is if this young lady does the work, and I'm gonna put something out there too. Give her some homework. Get her How to Raise an Anti-Racist Kid by Dr. Ibram X. Kendi. Don't make her, but like read it with her and make her understand that the heaviness of her actions, the fact that she only is missing prom and homecoming and getting her social media taken away for a short amount of time, she will sign back up. This, you are not only not the a-hole or the sphincter, you are a good parent.
And I agree. I mean, I think actually what you said is the additional part that might be missing as far as the educational aspect of it, as far like having a corresponding punishment to what you did, so there's like some redemption in it, mm-hmm. as far as like
yes.
what you need to be learning or like a book you have to read or something like that is when it comes to this. But I kind of agree, like I don't know what's worse, if you find out your kid's the bully or your kid's getting bullying. Because like if I were to find out that my kid did this after the way that I am expecting to raise my child,
yeah,
I would be horrified.
I mean, so there's a part in that article that you read where it said, and they found out there was a racial component to it. And I believe they said something effective, and we did our best to raise them. And I don't remember the exact wording.
To be honest and kind.
You know, and that's fine. And I get that. And there's nothing against it. I don't know this person. I'm not going to take away what they think they've done. But if it was truly their goal to raise a child that would not act like this, we now know as white people raising kids, I'm not a parent, but like when you raise a child, it takes more work. You have to introduce them into a whole new world that they're never going to understand and experience because they won't see it, but they have to understand that other people go through it. And the fact that your daughter is now a statistic within that, yeah, homecoming, prom, social, gone. No, I don't feel a stitch of sad for her, and I want, but I want her to learn, and I want the parents to learn too, and come out of the other end with some understanding, healing, and being able. And I hope in a perfect world, this young lady apologizes for what she's done. Because that was that even an aspect of it? We don't know. So.
We don't know. If you have opinions on this, or just opinions in general on how to, when your kid is the bully, how do you deal with that? 844-967-2789. Shoot us a text. Give us a call. We'd love to. I'd love to hear from someone who's actually raised teenagers and gone through this. And if you have specifically an experience, racial or not, where your kid was the bully, I'd love to hear how you handled it. But either way, is this dad in the right? I'm a little surprised that the school didn't get more involved, that there wasn't actual ramifications from the school of you can't go to prom, you can't go to homecoming. Obviously, schools have no bearing over what their social media is going to be, but that a child left the school because of bullying, if there's no ramifications for the kids who were bullying them.
Yeah.
I'm a little surprised with that.
And, you know, one of the questions I would ask that kid, because when we were talking about bullying earlier this week, you know, it says in the article that a group of friends, I would sit the young lady down and be like, why did you join in this? Like I said to you, there were times that I joined in bullying because they weren't then bullying me. It was like safe. Like, all right, I can be, you know, why was this happening? What did you feel? Did you feel good about this? Does it something that you don't care about? Like, ask the tough, hard questions and make them answer honestly, because that's the only way you're going to find the truth and a solution within it, because that keeps them from being a bully further and a bully on their own. Because if it's friends, I'm not saying it's understandable, but you can look at it and say, why would you join a group of people in doing this? What's going on with you that made you want to do this?
Yeah. I mean, because I would imagine there was obviously probably a ringleader, but I don't know if she was the ringleader, then that's all the worse.
Yeah.
But finding out where did it start from? Why this person, and why the racial aspect to it?
Yeah, that.
But again, I would love to hear from you. 844-967-2789. If you have opinions on what should be the ramifications when you have a kid who is the bully? And in this scenario, did this dad go too far, or is that a adequate and responsible response to his child being involved in a scheme, like a bullying, constant bullying that ended up with a kid leaving, especially because when there's a racial aspect to it?
And I'll say this too, racial aspect or not, the fact that you bullied a child so hard they had to leave a school, I'm still standing by what I say.
Yeah.
There's punishment that needs to happen, and these are minor punishments, in my opinion.
All right. Well, we would love to hear from you on that topic, but we would also love to give another set of tickets for the Brewers game on Sunday. So if you would like to go see the Brewers play the Phillies at home on Sunday, it's going to be hot. It's going to be in the 90s. The first pitch is at 12:05 p.m. at AmFam Field. If you would like to win, just give us a call, 844-967-2789, right now at the break, first caller. And then we're just going to ask you how you spend, what's your favorite way to spend a long weekend? 844-96-PARTY. This is As Goes Wisconsin, and we'll be right back.
More than 80 million Americans depend on AM radio each month for news, weather, and emergency information. A new bill in Congress would make sure AM radio remains in cars. Because when cell and internet services are down, this free service could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment.
We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast. Mainly clear skies overnight with a low of 68. Winds out of the south, 5 to 10 miles per hour. High temperatures reach up to 95 tomorrow. Lots of sunshine. Lows level off around 73 tomorrow night. Partly cloudy skies. Low 90s Tuesday with a chance for scattered thunderstorms. Turning much cooler Wednesday with highs in the upper 60s. Chance for storms continues. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air WLAK 1260 AM. Right now 73.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. 12:15, Town Call. 1 p.m., The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn directs WLAK.
Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. He is Greg Bach. And now I need to see if there was original music video for that song.
I'll look it up.
Because I feel like if there isn't, we have to make like a Hairspray type video and lip sync to that song and be in like Brewer's gear, but have like an entire choreographed dance and see if we can partner with the Brewers on this. But
doesn't look like there is one.
It's a huge opportunity.
The opportunity knocks.
I wonder, is there a copyright on that song?
Oh, I'm sure there is, but they were nice about it. Come on.
Just do it? You don't think we'll get flagged on YouTube?
If
we'll check, because we can actually check.
You are an award-winning radio personality. You don't have to worry about the rules.
We're not doing this.
You have to worry about the rules. The rules don't apply to you anymore.
We're ending that after today. Today is the last day we're doing that.
Okay, all right.
All right. Well, welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. He is Greg Bach. Do we have someone who wants to win some Brewers tickets? Oh, your mic is not on. Oh, your mic is still not on, Greg.
Paul from Madison. Sorry about that. Paul from Madison's calling. Paul, what are you doing this weekend?
I plan on going to a Brewer game.
Well, that's good. In a normal, like, what is your favorite way, if it was up to you, money was not the cost, how would you like to spend a long weekend?
Me and the wife like to do photography and just go up north and take pictures of wildlife and scenic things.
Oh, that sounds lovely. What is your favorite picture you've taken?
Boy, we got so many, I guess. A picture of a fox.
Oh.
In the wintertime, jumping on ice to break it.
Wow.
And we got it jumping and trying to get something to eat. So, that's one of them, and then some loons.
Some loons.
Ooh. Oh, it sounds relaxing.
How long do you usually have to wait to get a really good shot? Like, how patient are you?
Well, this last spring, we went up to Partyville, and there were hundreds of loons and pelicans, and we sat up there for 4 hours, and we took like 4,000 pictures.
Dang.
Oh, wow.
Paul, that is some patience.
That's incredible.
But we just sat there, and, you know, the loons, they would dive, you know, and then they'd come up somewhere else. And it was like once in a lifetime, the people in Partyville said, because they've never seen loons up on the lake there, so, or the river. It's part of the Pecatonica, I think.
And I'm sure, do you post all of these on Instagram? Can we go see your pictures, Paul?
The wife has some on Instagram.
Okay.
But most of them are on Facebook and just in our album.
Oh, that's so sweet. I love it. All right. Well, at least this weekend then, you're going to a Brewers game on Sunday. So
nice.
You can take some pictures there. And if you do take any pictures, please tag As Goes Wisconsin and Civic Media. But we're so happy to be able to. Have you gone to any Brewers games so far this year, Paul?
No, we haven't. We planned on it, and this was a good chance to do it. So
perfect. Well, we're happy to be able to give you some club-level seats. If you hang on to the phone, Greg will get all of your information so that we can make sure you get the tickets. But have so much fun this weekend.
Well, thank you. And congratulations on the baby.
Oh, thank you so much, Paul.
Coming.
It's coming. Okay. She's coming whether I'm ready or not.
As
we got less than a month.
As Gulita.
All right. Thanks so much for listening, Paul, and calling in. As a reminder, Civic Media, we're the proud sponsor. We get to give these tickets away because of our flagship Brewer station, Oshkosh Air Support on 98.3 FM and 1100 AM, which you can listen to throughout the Fox Valley. And listeners can also catch the Brewers on WRCE News from the Center in Richland Center, 107.7 FM, 1450 AM. So congratulations to Paul and Kelly.
Yeah.
They'll probably be sitting next to each other.
That'd be awesome. Yeah, take some pictures.
Friend.
Make friends. If you see a cool bird, Paul, take a picture of it.
And we were actually asking this question the last time I went to a Brewers game. Which sport do you think has the most wildlife sightings?
That's a good
during one. Like play.
Basketball.
Yeah, totally.
I'd probably. If we're talking about the general American three.
No, I'm talking about anything.
Oh.
Because I feel like my instinct, because of course we were at the game. There was like a lot of birds like swooping in and out of the stadium. And I was thinking of what is it? Who was the pitcher that hit the bird and the bird exploded?
It was, Randy Jackson. Randy.
It was a tall, skinny
Jackson.
Guy, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I was thinking about that.
I almost said Alan Jackson.
And then we were thinking about football and any kind of, but I don't feel like I see less critters get on the field in football.
I bet you cricket.
Or golf.
Golf, yeah.
I feel like golf, like, especially if you're playing in Florida and all of a sudden there's an alligator on the course. I was curious because I feel like baseball has a fair amount. But if you have a thought, we would love to hear from you on that. What sport has the most wildlife interaction, typically? All right, when we come back, Matt Miller is going to be here. We're going to get an update on the pop culture front. And he actually just got married.
And somebody's getting married.
He got married 2 weeks ago. He's back from his honeymoon. So very excited to catch up with him on all things pop culture. So we got a half hour left, and then it is the weekend, baby!
Yeah, baby!
All right, we'll be right back. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Come catch the fever with brewing is for everyone. You'll be a believer in brewer fever when you feel the excitement of the big home run. Stomping your feet, clapping your hands, you're part of the team sitting in the stands. Come see what's brewing. The Milwaukee Brewers. Team sitting.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. Beginning at 6, Up North News. Then at 8, Stu Daniels. On Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
ABC News, I'm Mark Remillard. The nation's labor movement continues to grow as actors and writers in Hollywood remain on strike. Now, auto workers in Detroit could be next.
97% of UAW members voted to authorize a strike if a new deal isn't reached with Detroit's three automakers by September 14th. The union is demanding higher wages, improved benefits, and cost of living wage bumps. All this as car manufacturers transition to producing more electric vehicles, which require fewer workers to assemble. President Biden is calling for a fair agreement, appointing a White House liaison between the union and automakers, hoping to help avert a strike.
ABC's Morgan Norwood. Thousands of attendees at Burning Man in Nevada literally stuck in the mud after monsoon rains brought flooding. Attendees have been told to shelter and conserve supplies. A crew of astronauts splashing down off the coast of Florida after returning from the International Space Station. This is ABC News.
US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight.
The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
And apparently Maggie Dawn, big Newton lover of the Maggie Dawn Show.
I was so offended, Jane. You know how much I love and admire you. You're like my freaking radio hero. And then to hear you bash my Newton.
It's still bad.
You want the cakey part cakey. You want the jammy part jammy. That is like bringing me back.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. Greg Bach is on the board. What were you just listening to, Greg?
That was a song called No Good, Start the Dance by The Prodigy. I figured since we're talking about pop culture, the kids like to dance, so I'd play some dance music. It's because the kids love the boogieing.
They do love the boogieing, I've been told. Well, welcome back. This is As Goes Wisconsin. It is that time of the month where we're going to have our monthly pop culture update with Matt Miller, culture editor over at On Milwaukee. And recently, since the last time we talked to you, you got married.
I did. I put a ring on it.
You did. And I forgot which of your coworkers or colleagues that I follow when they were posting about attending your nuptials, said they've never seen you happier than on your wedding day.
I was both happy. I have never been happier, and I have also never been more stressed.
Fair.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
No one prepares you. Like, I'm publicly speaking right now, but the vows, it's just the most terrifying. Yeah, you're up there, and you're just like, this is it. If I screw this up, this is the end of everything.
But
it was really wonderful.
Did you memorize, or did you have a...
No, I did not memorize.
Some people go for it.
I am not a paid actor. I am not a professional. I'm scared enough reading it out of our little vow book, much less having... If I had it memorized, there would have been a lot of improv. There would have been a lot of, like, I promise to never change the channel from Real Housewives. It would have been a lot of that stuff.
And then you went on your honeymoon right away, right?
We did. We went to lovely Curacao.
That's where we went!
Oh, really?
Yeah, we went to Aruba and Curacao.
Did you enjoy Curacao? Curacao's lovely, I thought.
I preferred Curacao to Aruba, personally. They're both great, but I like the culture and everything. And I felt much more like I was in a different country versus like a vacation destination when I was in Curacao versus Aruba.
Yeah, Willemstad was really wonderful. Had great meals. Really wonderful place there. Got to learn a lot. Swam with turtles and all sorts of fun stuff. Got so sunburnt that I turned into human bubble wrap for a day. So that was fun.
Well, you are pretty close to the equator when you're there. You forget.
You think clouds are your friends.
And then
you go inside and you are the color of well-cooked pork.
One of the other big killers.
You look like the brumble fly from The Fly.
Oh, well, you look back to normal now.
Ow.
Doesn't look like there was any permanent damage.
I'm wearing a shirt, so that's why you can't see the real damage. But it was great. It was great. She's still married to me, so that's nice.
Made it 2 weeks so far.
Yeah.
2 weeks? Three weeks?
Two whole weeks.
Well, nice. Congratulations.
Congratulations.
So happy for you. All right, well, let's get into some pop culture. So I saw this. This was headlined all over my news sources this morning. If you didn't get enough Taylor Swift this year, I feel like she, like, went away for a little while, and this year she is very back.
Is she up to stuff this year?
She's up to stuff this year. And if you missed out on seeing her live and not paying thousands of dollars to see her...
If you didn't take out a bank loan to get the worst seat at a football stadium for a concert...
You can see her now in your local AMC theater. So tell me more about what your thoughts on this new Taylor doc is.
Yeah, so the new Taylor Swift, it's a concert film. It is the Taylor Swift Concert Eras Tour movie. And it was so busy yesterday that there was a waiting list to get onto the AMC Theater's website. Not to buy tickets. Not simply to buy tickets. But if you wanted to see, like, Blue Beetle or Oppenheimer, you had to wait to merely access the site to see the show times because of the amount of Taylor Swift fans pouring into the site, which, by the way, it apparently broke the record for AMC for first day pre-sales. It's already made like $26 million. This is going to be one of the biggest movies of the year because, and honestly, it's genius if you're Taylor Swift and if you're movie theaters. Because a lot of people, like us in Milwaukee, didn't get to go. She didn't come to Milwaukee.
Yep.
I wasn't going to drive down to Chicago and pay the thousands of dollars for a mere seat, much less to be in the vicinity of the stadium and maybe to hear the echoes of style from outside of the football stadium. This is a brilliant move. This is going to make a ton of money. It's going to bring people back to theaters who haven't been back, perhaps. It comes out in October, and it's so big, by the way, that The Exorcist, there's a new Exorcist movie coming out in October, and was originally expected to come out the week of this Taylor Swift show, and now that Exorcist movie, in the middle of spooky season, in the middle of October, has moved back a week to get out of the way of Taylor Swift. Yeah, she's taken over music, and now she's coming for the movie theaters. And honestly, there's so little coming out for the next month in theaters that if you're a cinema owner or if you're a movie theater fan, it's kind of manna from heaven to have this big event back on the screen, because what else is bringing people to theaters for the next month, honestly?
Well, and it's interesting because it reminds me of when Beyonce, because I feel like there's this ongoing, I don't know if it's like a named battle, but silent thing of who is it? Is it Beyonce or is it Taylor Swift? Right? Like, these are the two most dominant musicians of our generation, both with the money.
Pop cultural figures.
Pop cultural figures, right? As far as their longevity of how long they've been around, how many different in reinventions of themselves, how there, like even this summer, and like
there's some of the few people in pop culture in this era of streaming and have it now media and all that stuff that really create events that most media right now is extremely disposable. I mean, streaming shows are hot for 30 seconds and then are gone from the public conscience. Taylor Swift and Beyonce make events, and those are very rare nowadays. Barbenheimer was an event. You know, they're few and far between movies and TV and music. We're all, you know, kind of we're all kind of fractured in our different worlds, that there's not a lot of, you know, unifying pop culture stuff anymore. And Beyonce and Taylor Swift are two of those few kind of unifying, everybody must pay attention people in the industry right
now. And so what I was going to say is, how many years ago was it when Beyonce headlined, was the first black woman to ever headline Coachella, but then turned around and made that two-weekend headline into a documentary for Netflix. Yeah. And I think Netflix did see like a pop in their streamers for people who wanted to just go watch that documentary. And it's so interesting to now watch, like, oh, we can take a page from that book and watch Taylor Swift be like, let's send people to the movies.
Yeah, and I mean, this is going to make more money than that Beyonce thing did because it was on Netflix.
Yep. Like,
people didn't have to pay tickets to see that on Netflix, you know? It just came with their subscription, essentially. Whereas, like I said, this is going to be one of the... It's going to be a weird time looking back at this year at the box office and be like, Oppenheimer, a three-hour-long biopic, fifth highest grossing movie of the year. That weird Jim Caviezel child trafficking movie made more money than Indiana Jones 5. And Taylor Swift was in the top 10 highest grossing. It's just going to be a very strange pop cultural moment, this box office at the end of the year.
Absolutely. All right. Well, moving on
Which, by the way, that comes out on October 13th. I never set a date on that.
Okay. So speaking of movies and movies that are coming out, we are, now that it is September, we are entering into, like, we're exiting blockbuster time and entering into prestigious, heavy award-winning potential movies. And so what are you previewing ahead of, like, festival season and award season and all the stuff that's like the heavy hitters?
Yeah, so we're starting to get into the kind of Oscar season, even though, I mean, the big thing weighing on all of this is the strikes.
Yeah.
You don't have a lot of actors doing the red carpets right now at these festivals at Telluride and in Venice right now. You have movies getting delayed in many cases, like the Dune sequel that people forget. Dune was nominated for Best Picture.
Won a lot of
Oscars. Yeah. No one remembers the 2021. That Oscar year didn't happen. That was just the Will Smith slap somebody show.
Slap
and then it's like, oh yeah, I guess Coda won Best Picture. No one remembers. But yeah, so you've got Poor Things, which is the new movie from Yorgos Lanthimos, who's the guy who did The Lobster. He did The Favorite. New movie with Emma Stone and Mark Ruffalo, going to be very weird. The guy makes very weird movies. I'll be interested to see how that kind of plays, because obviously The Favorite was one of the top Oscar-nominated movies of that year. Ended up losing to everyone's favorite movie, Green Book. Yeah, that one didn't last long. That aged as well as 1 second after it won Best Picture and was like, no, we already regret this.
That was like that, and what was the one 10 years prior to that that was also about race and...
The Help? Driving Miss Daisy?
No. Help? The one in LA where it was all the different storylines.
Crash.
Yeah.
At least Crash was there was like a slow realization of like, oh, maybe this movie is really bad. Whereas, you know, with Green Book, as soon as it was like the Brexit vote, as soon as it happened, everyone was like, oh, this was a mistake. We shouldn't have done this. Weird year for movies that year. But you also have Ferrari, Not Ford versus Ferrari.
Great
There's
movie.
A new Ferrari. Good movie. Good movie. Ferrari, starring Adam Driver, directed by Michael Mann, who did The Insider, Public Enemies. That premiered. Kind of exciting sounding. You have a new Scorsese movie coming out in less than a month. Killers of the Flower Moon. That sounds like it's going to be very good, about murders on a Native American reservation where oil has been found. And we also have a new David Fincher movie coming to Netflix, starring Michael Fassbender, called The Killer. I watched The Social Network again in Curaçao, because Netflix in foreign countries is better than Netflix in America. And you know what movie's still incredible is The Social Network. That movie's still
so good.
Terrific cinema.
Aaron Sorkin, baby.
It's funny, that movie's like, it needed all of the parts, that movie. You needed Aaron Sorkin and his screenplay, but you also needed David Fincher and this really ominous vibe of that movie to really kind of sink in that, like, oh, all of this is like gross and bad, and like all of the misogyny from these rich real world, like, structures is just getting moved onto the internet. And it's a great movie still. Highly recommend The Social
Shocker.
Network.
Shocker. Aaron Sorkin and David Fincher made a good movie that held up.
Listen, Sorkin on his own hasn't turned out great. Anyone watching Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip?
Excuse me, sir. That is a great show. It should have gotten a second season.
That is a fine show.
He also did Molly's Game, which wasn't good, when he finally got the ability to direct.
And The Newsroom, which was like Aaron Sorkin, like, LARPing.
Oh, I love The Newsroom. You didn't like The Newsroom?
I really hate The Newsroom.
I really don't like where this conversation's going, sir.
The Newsroom is an actively upsetting show to me, because it's like him being like, well, if I ran the news, I would cover it like this.
Well, that's how all of his shows are. If I was president, I'd do this. If I ran a comedy show, I'd do this.
Yeah, it seems dumber on The Newsroom. It seems significantly dumber.
All right, let's wrap this up. So what else should people be looking for as this fall's movies?
Honestly, it's going to be kind of a dry season for the next several weeks. I am... especially because of the writer's strike and the simultaneous actor strike, because, you know, we already pushed two Zendaya movies to next year, both the Dune sequel and Challengers, which was supposed to open the Venice Film Festival, and instead it was an Italian movie that probably won't actually ever come to America. And when you're a big film festival and you had a chance to premiere a Zendaya starring movie or an Italian war movie that probably won't have any reach outside of the country, it's kind of disappointing for them.
Yeah.
But, you know, these movies that, you know, you're going to want Austin Butler on the red carpet. You're going to want Zendaya doing late night talk shows. And they can't do that right now because the writer's strike is so... Stuff like that is getting pushed, and big budget stuff that doesn't have name brand, like Aquaman, probably won't get pushed because it's a superhero movie. It's a big name.
Mm-hmm.
But smaller original movies that are more of a risk, those might get pushed because the studio needs all of the weapons it has to sell those in this day and age, and they don't have one of their best weapons, which is the actors, the stars. It's almost as though you should pay them right, because they are important.
They are important. So it sounds like we're all just going to go see Taylor Swift in the theater. It is
the year of Taylor Swift.
All right, Matt Miller, thank you so much for spending time with us. Have a great long weekend.
Thanks, everybody. Sorry for my Sorkin takes.
It is the year of
The Todd Alba Show.
I see the silhouette of Todd Alba, who still hasn't figured out that maybe a TV person could help, you know, set this whole thing up.
For whatever reason, StreamYard's video is just deciding that the room is too bright.
When has Todd Alba been accused of being too bright? I mean, really fair. I'm like, where's Aaron with the rim shot?
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
When you think about early labor unions, do you think of Wisconsin? You should. The state's first labor union formed in Milwaukee in 1847 when the bricklayers organized, then the carpenters union in 1848. The National Labor Union didn't even form until 1866. A State Historical Society report shows Wisconsin's union members also pushed for workers' compensation and unemployment insurance legislation, becoming a model for other states. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.
Wisconsin traditions have been built for years around the Badgers, game day, and the mascot. But lead miners are the original Badgers in the state, not the animal or the mascot. It was the 1820s, and the miners often didn't have shelter in the winters, so they lived like Badgers by digging tunnels into the hillsides to stay warm and sleep where they worked. It led to the reason why today you really can't think of Wisconsin without thinking Badgers. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.
Here's your updated forecast. Highs level off around 95 today under mainly sunny skies, south winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Partly cloudy tonight, lows level off around 73. A blend of clouds and sun again tomorrow. Chance for scattered storms, daytime highs approaching 91. Upper 60s Wednesday with a chance for scattered storms. Mid 60s cloudy Thursday. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air WLAK 1260 AM. Right now 73.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. At 10, As Goes Wisconsin. Then at noon, Civic Media Network News. On Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. He is Greg Bach. And you two were talking over each other.
Sorry.
Very, very spicy. I feel like you two in a room over a beer could have some a lot of deep cuts and hot takes on opinions.
At the end of the
things.
Day, if he doesn't like Aaron Sorkin, I'm certainly not going to try to get him to like him. So I'll be like, all right, peace.
All right. Well, I saw this story this morning and I just wanted to end it because it seems so weird. But when's the last time you had a McFlurry?
A long time ago. Yeah, it's been some time. They're what a Blizzard wishes it could be.
Oh, you like McFlurries more than
Blizzard? I'm sorry, reverse that. Blizzard, I love Blizzards more because the ingredients are all throughout the ice cream or the soft serve.
Instead of just like at the top?
Yeah.
So. Well, and it could be because, are you aware that McFlurry machines break all the time?
That's a common joke, like the shake machine or the McFlurry machine's broken. I've heard that joke.
So it's not a joke. It's like a real thing. So there is a fight for the right to repair McFlurry machines. This is such a random story that also just feels like, oh, this is really effed up as far as the stranglehold this company has on, it's like an $18,000 machine to make these McFlurries that are constantly broken. But basically, if you don't use a certified technician to fix it, you lose your insurance on that machine. So basically, the online repair community, iFixit, and the DC-based nonprofit, Public Knowledge, are asking the government to let them fix the notoriously dysfunctional McDonald's soft serve dispensers, something that's currently prohibited under copyright law.
What? I mean, holy cow.
So yeah, so I had no idea this was even a thing. So there's copyright experts and like tech whizzes are teaming up to reduce the number of people haunted by the words ice cream machines broken. And so basically it's not a myth and it's not a joke that like there is like these things that are very expensive break all the time, but they've earned a reputation because they shut down and require tending to when they encounter a problem. But it's a major drain, obviously, for franchise owners. But the machines manufactured, like this is like 25% of their revenue comes from just fixing their own machines. So the company is called Taylor Company, and they have an exclusive repair contract with McDonald's. So franchisees have to use them. So every time an $18,000 Mickey D's ice cream maker breaks down, franchises need to call up a Taylor technician, and if they use a non-Taylor handy person, the machine's warranty is revoked. So it's not even insurance, it's their warranty. So fixing the complex machinery costs $350 for every 15 minutes of service. That is really good work if you can get it. Holy crap. And so they've generated 25% of their revenue from maintenance and repair services in recent years. And so now there's like this like move in this like campaign to try to be able to like break this monopoly, I guess. But like, so if you've ever wondered why the McDonald's McFlurry machine is always broken, it's because they don't want to pay $350 per 15 minutes to get it fixed.
Somebody, the 612 sent a text message. There is a website called McBroken.com, which will tell you where the broken machines are.
Oh, that's funny.
And it says it constantly tries to order at McDonald's to see which has a working ice cream machine. Check it before you go to one. McBroken.com.
So I'm there right now. So right now it says in Brooklyn, 13.39% are broken.
Oh my God.
In New York, which I don't know if that means Manhattan or like the greater New York area, like New York City, 26% are broken. In Houston, 22% are broken. In Los Angeles, 21% are broken. In San Francisco, 20% are broken. That's a high number.
I wonder
one out of five?
Yeah.
In Washington, 19.15% are broken. In Dallas, 19. Oh my gosh.
That's a shout out to Matt from Germantown for the information. Thank you for that, Matt.
So it looks like right now, if you're pining for a McFlurry, do not go to the McDonald's in Sussex. There's two in Sussex right now that are broken, according to this website. But the fact that this is getting tracked is incredible.
Go to Dairy Queen and get something that's way better.
Oh, Dairy Queen. Or, I mean, the concrete mixers at Culver's.
Culver's is great. Culver's is great, too. I enjoy both of them. And you've never driven up to one. They'd be like, sorry. If you drove up to a Culver's and they said it was broken, I would be like, oh, I would literally be like, I'm so sorry for you, because I know that's going to be a horrible day for you, that someone's going to be upset about that. Whereas at McDonald's, you say, is it working? Yeah.
Exactly. So I saw that this morning. I think that was the first story in Morning Brew, my Morning Brew newsletter. I was like, this is a really random story out of all the news to be headlining today. But I actually kind of, because it's something you probably never even think about, that this is a whole like scheme that this company has been able to like basically just control for all these franchisees who are just like, I just need the machine fixed, bro.
Yeah.
Like, God.
Well, we can get out there in like 2-3 weeks. Does that work for you? That works for me.
Oh, I've never. Michael on the YouTube live stream just commented, do not sleep on the Quick Trip milkshakes.
I've never had one of them. I'm a fan.
I didn't even know Quick Trip had milkshakes.
I mean, it makes sense. They have everything else. Their coffee is really good and their lattes are good. I mean, Quick Trip, get at me. Let's do this endorsement deal. Come on.
Where are they located?
Back by the coffee. There's like coffee, there's like fruit drinks, like the slushies and everything. They're like, because everyone's different. Like I live by
a slushy machine.
Yeah, there's a slushy machine.
But then there's a milkshake machine and a slushy machine.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. I'll have to check that out. I had no idea. Learn something new every day. All right. Well, thank you to everyone who called in and texted in for not only today, but this whole week. It was a great week. Greg, full week on the board. How do you feel?
I'm feeling good. And I want to just thank you for the opportunity to be able to do this. And thank, you know, Jane on vacation, trusting me to do so as well. And everyone just, you know, it's been fun.
It's been very fun. Well, you'll be doing it a lot.
Yep.
We got 3 weeks. We got one more week together.
Yep.
Then we got 2 weeks with Jane back. And then it's you two at the helm.
Yep.
You'll be great. It'll be great.
Will we be award winning? I'm not sure, but
I'm surprised Jane hasn't won more awards. I'm being totally honest. She's pretty good at this.
She's awesome.
All right. Well, everyone, have a safe, wonderful, long weekend. Congratulations to our winners, Kelly and Paul, going to the game this weekend. We will be back live on Tuesday. And until then, be safe, be happy, be kind. This has been As Goes Wisconsin.
Experience Nightlight, September 8th and 9th from 5 until 10:30 p.m. Presented by Joy Engine. The dazzling spectacle is an immersive 4D light festival taking place in Milwaukee's historic Mitchell Street neighborhood. Digital animations, dance, music, art, and fashion combine to create a visual, family-friendly sensory experience outside of 710 West Historic Mitchell Street, home of Mitchell Street Arts. The event is family-friendly and free to the public. Don't miss this iconic event. Nightlight, where art comes to life. Information at joyengine.org. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
When you want something so badly, what you're able to justify and rationalize and get over. So I would say there's not a non-zero chance.
But what record would she run on? Foxconn?
Well, what did she run on for governor? Probably the same thing.
I just remember her warning about people will be marrying coffee tables once gay marriage is allowed. So I'd like her to run just so I can ask her how many of those weddings she's been to.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local. You're listening to WLAK 1260 AM Amory. And WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Mark.